How is everybody today? Good. Good to be here today. Hey, church, I know we just prayed, but man, I just want to take some time and seek the Lord in prayer for a couple things. Obviously, unless you've been sleeping under a rock, you know what's going on over in Afghanistan. And I'll tell you, I've been connecting with missionaries and missionary leaders and Christian leaders and even some political leaders, just some people that they're trying to get out over in Afghanistan. And they're getting a lot of them out. There's still a lot of Christians over there. Christians lost their life this past week, execution style. They just brought them out and because they love Jesus, because they follow Jesus. And so, man, let's pray for the church over there. Let's pray for our leadership. Church, this is not a political statement. Let's pray for those that lead over us. The Bible says to do that. And so let's do that this morning. And let's also lift up, my understanding is, is it Ida? The hurricane has made landfall this morning. So let's pray for all that today. Father, God, we just come together as your people. God, because of Jesus, we have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And God, we've got some church family. We got some brothers and sisters that love Jesus that are in harm's way, that are in danger. And God, we pray, Lord, first and foremost, that they would make much of Jesus, that they would glorify you, that they would continue to tell people about Jesus Christ and stand firm for you. God, we also ask that you would protect them. We ask, God, that you would provide protection in everything that they need, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give them what they need to protect their family. But God, let them know that Christians throughout the world are praying for them today. God, we lift up our military. Those that sign up to say, yes, I will fight for freedom, I'll protect, I'll serve. And God, we lost 13 wounded more. God, we lift up their families to you. God, we pray, Lord, you protect those in our armed forces. God, we lift up our president to you. We lift up those that are in leadership in our military and our country. God, we pray, Lord, that if they do not know Jesus, that they would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God, we pray, Lord, that they would be led by your wisdom. God, we also lift up those in Louisiana and those in the surrounding area that are facing hurricane today. God, we pray, Lord, that we hope and pray, God, that they got out. But God, we pray, Lord, today for those that are still there, that you would protect them and provide for them and whatever they need. And so God, help us as followers of Christ, help us pay attention to what's going on over there and to keep seeking you and be involved in one way or another. God, we're grateful for part of Send Relief that we get to be a part of that is helping serve both in Afghanistan and in the southern states that are facing these hurricanes. And so God, we pray, Lord, that you would be with Send Relief and World Relief as they go out in the name of Jesus and help people. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, it was exciting to share with you guys last week the big news about our church. In case you missed it, we really rejoice in all that God has done at Authentic Life Church. It kind of feels weird that I'm not standing here. Is that weird? I just needed to say that to get it out of my system, right? But we rejoice in all that God has been doing at our church. We talked about how God has used us to share the gospel, to serve the community, to disciple and grow in our walk with him, and really do many other things, and that he's led us and been with us every step of the way. And that being said, we also shared last week and we celebrated that God has opened another door for us and he is leading us to a different and a bigger location, not far from here, but he has been faithful while we have met and served here as his church at Vail Academy in high school. But he is leading us to take all that he's been doing. It's not a relaunch, man. We're just taking what God has been doing and just going to that school to connect people to Jesus, grow together and live for him. And so last week we shared the date. I just want to bring that up again. We're going to meet and gather here until the 10th. Amen? So we're going to be here until the 10th. And then that next week, we're going to have a celebration and an open house that weekend. That's the plan. And then we will begin gathering and worshiping at Desert Sky Middle School on October 17th. If anything changes in those dates, we will let you know. But I can't wait to continue to be used by God to see what he has in store for us as we take that step. And so, church, just keep praying about that, right? I'm thankful that you guys are united about that and praying about it. Let's continue to pray as we prepare and make that move. As Emily said before, I think it's this Saturday at 8 a.m. Emily wanted us out there at like 5 a.m. or something, you know, but just had to veto that. I know, Kevin, you're having lunch by 5 a.m. I get it, but It's 8 a.m. We're going to be here. And if you're able to help, fill out that connection card, give that to me, put it in the offering box back there, and let us know that you can help with that. But let's just continue to be faithful and be praying about how God can use you personally. If you're here today, you're a part of Authentic Life. How is God calling you to serve and give and pray during this time before we make this move and as we make that move? Guys, as a church family, we have been, for the last few months, we've been walking through the book of 1 Thessalonians verse by verse and seeing how we can learn and apply what God has been teaching us, both in our individual life, but also as a church family. And today, sad to say, we wrap up that series. Right? It's always sad when you come to the end of a series where you've walked through it like this, but I'm excited about our next series as well, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But we wrap up today, and so if you guys would have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. If you need a Bible, we have one for you back there. They are a gift to you, so please grab one of those. As you're turning there, just a little bit of reminder about our text today. Remember, Paul is writing this to a church that he planted, right? He started this church. It was a happening city. It was the place to be. A lot of things were going on, and they were seeking everything in the world except Jesus. And so God sent Paul there to plant a church. But here's the thing. He's writing this to a church plant with young Christians, right? Young Christians that were living in a city that desperately needed Jesus. And these Christians, this church, they were facing some hardship. We think about hardship that we go through. This church was facing hardship, real affliction. The Bible says they were facing severe persecution. And so Paul, in his letter to them, he's encouraging them and he's teaching them on how to walk with Jesus and how to live as a Jesus follower, but also as a church family at all times, in all circumstances. And in the last few verses, Paul's going to lay out for us some instruction and commands from God's word. When we read what we're reading today, these are written as present imperatives, right? They're written in the present tense. They're imperatives, so it means every day we do these things. And so he's going to lay out for us 8 ways for us to live our lives as those that have been transformed by Jesus. And so would you guys, just to honor God and his word, would you stand with me as we read this? I'll read and you guys follow along. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Here's what God's word tells us. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you and also will bring it to pass. Brethren, he's talking to the church family right there, brothers and sisters in Christ. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren, all the family with a holy kiss. They weren't dealing with COVID, were they? Right? So with a holy kiss, I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Father, we love you. Be in charge as we hear today, as we listen. Change our hearts today. Become more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. In this passage, Paul lays out for us 8 characteristics, 8 imperatives, right, for us to pursue as Christians, things that we're supposed to live out. If you've been saved and transformed by Jesus, right, if you are a Jesus follower, this is what should be evident in our lives. We should be living these things out. Doesn't say it's going to be easy, right, but these are things that should be evident in our life. The first one comes from verse 16, and it's this. To live a transformed life as Jesus followers and as a church, we are called to rejoice at all times. Paul simply says, rejoice always in verse 16. To rejoice, guess what that means? To rejoice, right? To have joy, to be glad, and to have happiness. I remember as a kid singing the song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. All right, good job. Right? Down in my heart to stay. And then it goes on to say, and I'm so happy, so very happy, I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Somewhere along the line, as we become adults, we get a little bit smarter, don't we? And we lose that joy. I mean that sarcastically, right? But I mean, church, rejoice at all times. I think we can nail the first part of that commandment to rejoice. I think we can nail that, because there are moments in life where life is just easier. You're on the mountaintop. Maybe things are just going well. You look at things, you're celebrating a birthday, you're celebrating a graduation, you're celebrating good news, whatever that may be. But church, it doesn't stop with just rejoice. It says rejoice always. Rejoice always. And that means at all times, in all circumstances. And I think, church, that's where it gets tough, isn't it? Right? Because we go through seasons. We live in a fallen world. Right? We're not with Jesus yet. So we go through seasons of hurt. We go through seasons of pain and sorrow and not understanding. And so we can ask, how can we possibly rejoice always, God? I would dare say, though, that some in Thessalonica that they're reading this, they're probably asking the same question as well. Like, how can we rejoice? And we think about our life and the hardship that we go through. Here's just some of the things they were going through. In chapter 1, Paul says that they were facing hardship and affliction. Chapter 2, he says that they were facing intense suffering. Chapter 3, Paul again speaks of their personal, persecution and their affliction. The Bible actually in 2 Thessalonians actually calls it severe persecution. And so this command, these words from God are going out to a church, to a people that are going through difficulty. And he says, church, rejoice always. But it's important that we know something about this joy. I need us to hear this morning, because otherwise this verse doesn't make any sense. It's important to know this. This joy does not come from the world around us. Right? This joy is not something that's determined by our circumstances in this life. Things in this life are going to bring us sorrow and heartache, but this joy that Paul is talking about that we have and we are to have at all times is determined by who God is and what he's done. Right? I've got the joy down in my heart to stay, right? Because I'm so happy because I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Our joy doesn't come from the world. Our joy comes from our relationship with Jesus. I think about days where it has been a tough day. Anybody have a tough day this week? You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody have a tough what? Eli, you had a tough day, man. I get it, right? And for me, I'll have a tough day and I'll come home. You know what I want to do? I just want to see my wife's pretty face. Are you with me, man? Like, you just like some, there's just something about that. You just walk in. I just want to see my wife. I just want to see my kids. And it gives me joy. The relationship that I have with them gives me joy to be with them. But here's the great news about Jesus. If you're saved, he's always with you. Right? He's always there. This joy comes from our relationship with Jesus, knowing that he loves you and he's with you. Philippians 4:4 says it this way. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. There's a song for that one too, but I won't sing it. Church, we can have joy because no matter what happens around us, if we are saved by Jesus, here's why we can rejoice. You're no longer chained to your sin. You can rejoice always because you belong to Jesus. You can rejoice always because you've been adopted into his family. You can rejoice always because you have a home that you're going to have for eternity when you leave this world. You can rejoice always because Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. We can have this joy always because of the goodness of God in our lives, because of the promises that one day we are going to be with him forever. We have reason to rejoice, church. We have reason to rejoice. A friend of mine that I coach in church planting is a church planter, and his family moved out here. His name's Andrew. Pray for Andrew today, because Andrew's preaching this morning after his dad just passed away a couple days ago. And you know what was crazy? As I was talking to him, he was rejoicing about all that God had done in his dad's life and how God had used his dad. There's still moments of grief. There's still going to be sorrow, but Andrew can rejoice because his dad is with Jesus. Andrew can rejoice because he knows one day he's going to see him again. We can rejoice always because of who God is, because he loves us and because he saved us. And so, Christian, no matter what you're going through, find reason to rejoice in the Lord. Number two comes from verse 17. Paul writes this. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So to live out a transformed life is to rejoice at all times and to pray persistently and regularly. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The very first time that I read this passage, I was a little kid, and I was quite young, trying to figure out how I was going to pray all the time, right? Like, because when I prayed at night, I would get down on my knees and I would pray to Jesus, or I'd fall asleep on my pillow praying, or we'd pray before a meal, and we always did this. I was trying to figure out, how am I going to live my life constantly praying, right? Anybody else do that? Don't just leave me up here. Anybody else do that? I'll own it, okay? I'm it. So everybody online's raising their hand. I just want you to know. But what Paul is saying is this, we're to live our lives where we are in constant communication with the Lord, praying persistently and regularly. Next week, we begin a new series in church. I'm going to tell you, I think it's going to be a very important series for our church, as we're going to open God's word and see for 6 weeks what it says about prayer, the importance of prayer. How do we pray? Why do we pray? Because as Christians, we are called to be devoted to prayer. As a church, we're to be united together in prayer and devoted to prayer together. We are to be fully dependent as a church and as Christians on the God of this world. Because remember, Jesus came to save us so that we could have a restored relationship with him, right? He came to save us so that we could be with him. It's all about a relationship. And in any healthy relationship, there must be persistent and regular communication. If you're struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling in your relationship with your kids, if you're struggling with coworkers, more than likely communication is part of the problem. And that's what God wants for us, is to have that communication, to be in prayer with him constantly. And church, I think this verse tells us two things about God. This is really good. Number one is this: God wants to hear from you. Isn't that good? The God that created you wants to hear from you. No matter what it is, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, he wants to hear from you. Number two is this: God has the ability to answer your prayers. That's good news. I love what Jeremiah 32:17 says. It says, "Oh Lord God, you yourself, you made the heavens and earth by your great power and with your outstretched arm." Church, look at this. Nothing is too difficult for you. Church, this is the God who invites us, who the veil was torn so we could have that constant relationship with him and to pray to him constantly. And our lives, our days, our hours, our minutes need to be full of time with God. And we don't need to overcomplicate it. I've had so many people come up and say, "Man, I don't really know how to pray." Just talk. Just start there. Just communicate with the creator of the universe. Anytime, any place, we have access to him. So rejoice at all times, pray persistently and regularly. And number three is this: to live a transformed life, we're to give thanks in all circumstances. We're to give thanks in all circumstances. Verse 18 says this: in everything, did we hear that? In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So let's look at this real quick. That last phrase, God's will for you, is those three things: have joy always, pray constantly, and give thanks to God, right? So you want to know what God wants you to do in your life? Start right there, right? Outside of knowing Christ as your Savior, have joy, pray constantly, and give thanks. These things should be evident in your life. Ephesians 5:20 says it this way: giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, even when the world may be crumbling around us, and for some, that's happening right now, isn't it? Right? The world may be crumbling around us, but we're still able to give praise and give thanks to God because of who he is and what he's done for us. Church, think about it. Jesus conquered everything that weighs you down. Did you hear that? Like, Jesus conquered everything that weighs you down. He conquered the sin that was going to separate you from God. He conquered death. He conquered hell that was awaiting us. He conquered the grave. He conquered your job loss. He conquered your anxiety. He conquered all of it. He conquered all of it. A few weeks ago, I was able to get away for a few days where I was just spending time with the Lord in church. Just a moment of, you know, just to be genuine with you. Man, I was feeling the pressure and the weight of this world. I was feeling the pressure and the weight of ministry and life and everything that was going on. And I just went to our team and I said, "Guys, I need a few days." And I got a few days, right? That's why we had two other people preach, you know, 2 weeks in a row, so I could just get away for a little bit and spend time with God and be refreshed. I was just feeling that pressure. And so on one of those days, I went up to Mount Lemmon. And I found a place at one of those lookouts. I can't remember the name of it, but it's one of those lookouts you get to go out and walk out on the rocks. What's that one called? Windy something? Windy Point? Maybe, yeah, that one. Yeah, that one, right? And you go out there, and I love it because when I've gone out there with my wife, you know, you always go higher than your wife wants you to or your mom wants you to, and you go to the edge, you know, you get a little further out. Kids don't do that. Husbands, you probably already have, right? But that's where I was at, man. I climbed up on one of those tall rocks. I sat on the edge of it for a long time. And I prayed, and I worshiped, and I opened God's word, and I read a book. And it was interesting because in this book, it basically said the exact same thing. No matter what you're going through, it was a book for pastors. It said, Pastor, no matter what you're going through, no matter how heavy life and ministry is, you still have reason to give thanks to God and praise him. And it said this, the book said, stop what you're doing. Look up and give thanks to God for everything that you see. I mean, God's timing was perfect. He knew where I was going to be reading that book, and it just so happened I was in a spot where I could see God's creation. Anybody else get filled up when they see God's creation? That's so good. I could see God's creation, and I was overlooking Tucson, the place that God brought me and my family to. And I just stopped, and I began to praise God. People started looking at me a little funny, but I didn't really care, man. You just stop and you give thanks to God. In a moment of heaviness in my life, I was able to stop and give thanks. Now let's take this a little bit further. I think about King David. King David's this warrior king, right? He's got everything he needs. He's got this throne. He's got people that serve him. He's got a huge military that is just powerful, right? He's a man of God. But in Psalm chapter 63, life wasn't going so well for him in that moment. In fact, he found himself leaving his throne and leaving his kingdom with just a few people and a few things, and he goes out into the desert, and he's fleeing for his life, church. You know why? Because his own son was trying to take his life, was trying to hunt him down to kill him. And he's out in the desert, probably a little scared, but thirsty and hungry and tired. And you know what he says in Psalm chapter 63? He says this, he says, God, I will praise you with my lips because you and your love are better than life itself. That's what God wants for us. Church, when life is good, when life is hard, when life's just normal, we praise him, we give thanks to him through our actions, through song. When we get up here, I know some people are like, well, Pastor, I can't sing. Jesus doesn't care. He calls you to sing. Amen? Men, we struggle with that sometimes. Sing, baby, right? Sing, right? Praise him. Through song, through prayer, through your life, our response to God because of who he is and because of his love for us is to have joy, is to pray and to give thanks. And then we see number four. Paul continues in verse 19. He says, do not quench the spirit. We're going to get a little more personal in your lives here. Are you ready? Right? Do not quench the spirit. The fourth characteristic that should be found in our lives is this. As Christians, we must respond to the spirit. We must respond to God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 says this, do not quench the spirit. Right? We don't really use the word quench unless it's talking about thirst, right? That's basically the only time. It's the only time I've ever heard it. We want to quench your thirst, right? You want to get rid of your thirst. To quench means to stifle, to suppress, or to put it out. When there's a fire, what do? We grab that fire extinguisher so we can put a stop to that fire, right? And just put it out. And if that fails, we call Martin, right? Martin loves the attention. But we do, we extinguish it, we put a stop to it. And Paul is saying this, do not stop the Holy Spirit. Don't stop the work of the Holy Spirit that he is doing in your life, but listen and respond. The Bible tells us that when we believe in Jesus, hear me, church, when we believe in Jesus, when we call on him to save us and to be Lord of our life, there's many things that happen in our life. Mike, you were just talking about that with your family this morning, the things that we get because God has saved us, right? Well, all of those things that we possess. Church, just to name a few, we are saved from our sins. We're restored into a relationship with God. You are forgiven. We're adopted into God's family. We've got a place forever to spend with Jesus. And one of the things is we're given the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. He has a permanent resident in your life. Don't believe me? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this. Don't you know, talking to Christians, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? That's good news, Christian. He is with you no matter where you go. Galatians 5:16 says that we are to walk by the Spirit, meaning that we're to submit to his leading in our lives. Ephesians 5:18 says it this way, that we're not to be controlled by anything else, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so much so that his life pours out of ours. Church, here's the reality. We are to be controlled by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And from within, you know what he does? He does things like he comforts us, but he also teaches us. And he convicts us of sin, and he talks to us, and he empowers us, and he gifts us. And we have a responsibility to respond to that. So here's what Paul is saying. He says, Christian, when the Holy Spirit is leading you, listen and respond. When he's convicting you of sin, listen. When he's teaching you, when he's speaking into your life, when he's calling you to do something, listen and respond. Let's get a little more personal. When you are faced with temptation, let's just pause there. Y'all know what your temptations are that cause you to fall. Amen? We know what those are. When you're faced with temptation, are you ignoring the Holy Spirit when he says, brother or sister, this is not good for you? When he says, don't go there? When he says, don't look at that? When he says, flee, this is sin, stay away? Do we listen and respond, or do we quench that warning? When you're led by the Holy Spirit to use your spiritual gifts to serve in the church body or to give toward the mission of God, do we listen and respond, or do we extinguish his leading and say, well, God, I need this money for something else. I know you're calling me to give this toward the mission of God, but I just need this for something else. God, I know I have the ability that you've given me to serve the church, but I just want to sleep a little bit later. Are you with me, church? Man, we're just getting a little personal today. Do we listen and respond and obey, or do we extinguish his leading? When you're called by God to move or to go or to be used by him. Man, I remember when God called me to first be a pastor and then a church planter and then to Tucson. Are we listening and responding, or do you suppress that call in your life? When the Holy Spirit of God is leading you and teaching you and speaking into your life, do you stifle that voice, or do you respond and say yes? Because here's the truth, church. When you quench the Holy Spirit, when you and I quench the Holy Spirit, I need you to hear me on this one. We are saying no to God. This is not a little deal, right? We are saying no to God, right? When we aren't responding, the Bible tells us that grieves, it hurts the Holy Spirit. But as Christ followers, we're to recognize God's voice. Church, we need to recognize that he is God and you are not. He's God and I'm not. And so we listen and respond to his leading in our life. You know, it's really interesting. We surrender our eternity to Jesus, but sometimes we fail to surrender other areas of our life to him, right? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Respond to him. Don't quench, but respond to the Holy Spirit. Number five is this: to live a transformed life as a Christian, we are to obey Scripture. I think, church, we need to hear this today. Obey Scripture. I think one of the things we're really good at is obeying parts of Scripture. Well, this is easy. I can do this. Well, but Jesus, this is 2021, brother, right? Get with the times. No, we obey Scripture. We're going to talk about that. Verse 20, it says this: do not despise prophetic utterances. So let's look at some of those words. To despise means that we disregard, we ignore, we devalue, or we disrespect. And then he mentions the phrase prophetic utterances, so prophecy. So before we move on, let's understand what Paul is saying here. In Scripture, we basically see prophecy in two ways. The first is this, is foretelling. All right? It's foretelling, the telling of future events. We see this throughout all the Old Testament, don't we, right? We've got the prophets, the Old Testament, we've got the prophets. God used these people to tell God's people of future events. He's saying, hey, this is going to happen. You better pay attention. God wants you to know this. The judgment is coming. Hey, God's going to do this great thing in the future, right? We see that all throughout the Old Testament. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's two sections of books. There's the major and minor prophets. It's all throughout the Old Testament. And we see how God used these people to really speak for God and say, hey, these things are coming. Foretelling. We see in the New Testament too. In fact, we've seen it twice just in the last few weeks. For example, in the end of chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 5 of our text, the Bible says, hey, church, Jesus is coming again, right? If you're saved, Jesus is going to, you're going to be caught up, we're going to be raptured. He says this is going to happen. It's a foretelling. He also says in chapter 5, hey, the day of the Lord is coming. Judgment is coming if you don't know Jesus. And then there's forth telling, right? You're declaring. This is where we declare the truth of God's word. We preach or teach or speak the truth that we see in God's word. I'm going to tell you, church, my job is not to declare my opinion. My job is not to declare political correctness. And I apologize if that upsets you, but it ain't going to happen. My job is to declare what's in here. Amen? And by the grace of God, it will always be that way. We declare the truth. We preach and teach. We speak the truth of what we see in God's word. We find all of this in God's word. And Paul is saying, obey, church, what you hear in God's word. All of it. Obey what you hear in God's word. When you read the truth of God's word, when you hear it preached, when you hear what God says, don't despise it. Don't devalue it. Don't disregard it. But obey it. Obey scripture. As a church and as Christians, for this to happen, church, we have got to be in the Word of God and we've got to be underneath biblical teaching. In 2020, a survey and a study was done talking about how people spend their time each day. Here's one of the things that stuck out to me. It was shown that the average internet user spent 2 hours and 24 minutes daily on social media. Not the internet. It's not talking about working. It's not talking about looking up the news. It's not talking about checking, you know, Fox Sports or something like that. It's just things like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or whatever else is created and is gone the next day, right? I mean, social media, church, that's every day the average internet user, 2 hours and 24 minutes. Pew Research Center and also Lifeway Research did a study on evangelical Christians, and it said this. These are both recent, within the last year. 63% of evangelical Christians said that they read their Bible at least once a week. 63%. Only 32% read it every day. Where do you stand? We can't obey God's word if we're not in it. The Bible wasn't given to us so that we could only bring it to church. Please bring your Bible to church. It wasn't given to us so that we can only dive into it when we have questions. And you should dive into the Word of God when you have questions. Amen, church? Man, we should go there. But also so that we can hear from God daily. And Paul is saying, if you're not in the Word, begin doing that, right? Trust it. Apply it to your life. Obey it. Church, our minds and our hearts are to be filled with words from God. This is His love letter to us. This is the truth. I'll tell you what, most of what you read on social media is not the truth. Are you with me, guys? Most of what we see on the news may not be the truth, but this is always the truth. It says this in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says, all scripture. Guess what that means? All of it. All scripture is inspired by God. Church, we need to know what this phrase means. That phrase, inspired by God, literally in the Greek means breathed out by God or God breathed. So all scripture is God breathed, and it is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Church, here's what this means. When scripture speaks, are you hearing me? When scripture speaks, God is speaking. That's what that means. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says this about the Bible. It says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, right? But the word of our God remains forever. We live in a world where truth seems to be ever changing. Even the definition of truth changes. What's your truth, Charles? Right? It's ever changing, but God's word is true and trustworthy. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter what political correctness says. It doesn't matter what else is going on in the world. His word always remains true and perfect. And so we must respond to the Holy Spirit, and we need to obey God's word. And that leads us to number 6. We see this in verse 21. He writes this, but examine everything carefully. So number 6, as Christians, we respond to the Holy Spirit, we obey God's word, and we are to examine everything. The CSB translation says it this way. It says, test all things. Put it to the test. There's a show on TV where people bring items into a pawn shop. And what do? They're trying to get as much money for them as possible. And they bring them in, and then you've got the owner standing there, right, or one of his people. And the owner has to put everything to the test. He has to examine everything. If someone brings in a rare coin, right, with this great story about this rare coin, he's going to call in an expert to examine it to see if it's the real deal, right? If someone brings in a car or a guitar by Elvis Presley, right? I think he did that, didn't they? I don't know that I'd want a pink, what did he give out, pink Cadillacs or something, right? But if someone brings in a guitar signed by Elvis Presley, he's going to examine it, call in an expert to make sure it is true and authentic. When someone brings in a baseball card that, and the person claims that it has, you know, Bo Jackson or Babe Ruth's signature on it, they put it to the test, they examine it. And so Paul says, Christian, examine everything carefully. Here's what that means. If someone is teaching or preaching and they say, hey, this is what the Bible says, guess what you should do? Go check it out, right? Make sure that is what the Bible is really saying. When you get a devotional to help you with your Bible study, I'm just going to tell you, church, not every devotional that you find in the Christian bookstore is good and godly and biblical, unfortunately. Right? When you get a devotional for your Bible study, open God's word to make sure what is teaching you is right. When I or someone else preaches, go home and open God's word and examine it. And then we have to examine and put to test things that are going around us, going on around us. When we see things happening in our culture, in our country, on TV shows, in a book, does this line up with God's word? What does the Bible say about this? When we examine our own life, we say, you know what, how am I living? If I were to put my life to the test, does it line up with God's word? Is it in line with God's word? Am I living the life of an authentic Jesus follower? Church, we put everything to the test, to God and his word, right? Does this show that I'm watching, does this politician, does this book, does this teaching, does my life line up with scripture? Put it to the test. So obey scripture, examine everything. Number 7 comes from verse 21, where Paul writes this. He says, church, hold fast to that which is good. So embrace what is good, church. Embrace what is good. The phrase to hold fast, it means to keep it from going away, to possess it, to embrace it and hold tight to it. And it also means to remember it. So we're to embrace what is good. Romans 12:9 says it this way. It says, cling to what is good. And this just continues down the path that this passage has been taking us. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because what he says is good. Open up scripture and obey it. Why? Because what you read in God's word is good. When we examine everything and see that it is good in God's eyes, we're to embrace it, cling to it, and remember it. Why? Because it's good. And that leads us straight into number 8. We're going to get a little personal again. The last one we see is from verse 22, where Paul writes this. He says, Christian, abstain from every form of evil. Embrace what is good and stay away from evil. He says this, stay away, abstain from every form of evil. The word abstain is actually a very strong, powerful word that a leader would give to someone. To abstain means to prevent, to shun, or stay away from. So what do we stay away from? Evil and every form of it. Here's what the phrase evil or every form means in Greek. It means every kind, every appearance, and every shape of evil. Church, whatever doesn't line up with God and his word, whatever we know to be sin, whatever we know to be wrong in God's eyes, we're to prevent it from being in our lives, we're to shun it, we're to keep it at a distance. Again, it's strong language, and church, we need this strong language, so we're going to have that today. I'm going to give you some strong language, church, right? Because too often, we toe that line, don't we? Don't act like I'm crazy up here, y'all. Man, we toe that line, don't we? We get real close to that line. We're like, woo, right? We kind of dip our toe on the other side. We do that, church. Let's just own it. And you know what happens? Sooner or later, that line begins to blur and fade. And it becomes more comfortable. And it becomes more acceptable. And it becomes more normal. And it becomes more desirable until it becomes part of your life. There's an old Christian song. I say old. It's probably 15 years old. It just says, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away, where black and white turns to gray. It's a song that just talks about, like, we don't just jump into sin and say, woo, this is good, right? It's a fade where we get in there. Church, we are humans and we have flaws. We do not know everything. So when the Holy Spirit convicts you and warns you, we have to respond and listen and stay away or repent of that. When God says, hey, church, this is wrong, this is sin, this is evil, let's obey it and listen to it, right? Let's stay away. Let's not be towing that line, church, thinking that we're strong enough, because let me just give you a reality. You're not. I'm not. Are you with me, guys? Man, we do. We're like, well, I'm strong enough. We're not. Paul says, don't even mess around with it. Keep away from it. Proverbs 4, 14 through 15 speaks to this as well. It says, keep off the path of the wicked. Don't proceed on the way of evil ones. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass by it. 1 Timothy 6 says this, O man of God, O woman of God, flee from evil. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. I love this, church, because we're pursuing something. Amen? We are pursuing something in life. And to really refrain from evil, we need to pursue what is good and what is godly. So as Christians, if you're not pursuing God in your life, you're pursuing something. Men and women of God, whatever is unbiblical, whatever is evil, stay away from it. If it presents itself, flee from it. And we do that by pursuing God and what is good. Church, the word abstain is a word of self-control, to hold oneself off. And I think we need to hear this, because too often we say, the devil made me do it. The devil may have tempted you, but you did it. Amen? Right? Devil may have tempted me, but I did it. Like, I didn't abstain from it. We have personal responsibility here. Guys, how often, I need you to hear this, church, how often do we see families fall, relationships crumble, lives destroyed, churches split because evil was not shunned? The good news in all this is that God is right there with us through it all. And so as we face temptation, as we face sin, as we face evil, he's there to help us avoid it or get out of it. Because church, if you find yourselves in sin, in evil, maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're on a path that you shouldn't be. Maybe you're on a path where you are seeking what you shouldn't be seeking, where you are pursuing what or who you shouldn't be pursuing, acting as though you as you should not be acting according to God's word. Listen to God's word in your heart, flee from that, step away, run, and get the help you need from that. Men, grab a brother in Christ. Ladies, grab a sister in Christ. And I'm just gonna say it as your pastor. Please don't grab, you know, if you're gonna talk to your pastor, that's one thing, but do not grab a man or a woman. Are you with me, church? Man, go for a man of God, a woman of God that can help you with that. Turn away from evil, abstain from it, cling to God and what is good. Church, these are the eight characteristics that we should pursue and live out. They should be evident in our life if we are saved by Jesus. Here they are. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all things. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Obey God's word. Examine everything. Embrace what is good in God's eyes and stay away from and flee from evil. And then Paul closes out in verse 23 through 28. Let's read that one more time. He says this in verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. A few reminders as we close. We can only live this life. We can only pursue these things. We can only pursue all of what we've learned in 1 Thessalonians because of the work of God that he is doing within you. We cannot do what God has called us to do apart from him. Do we get that? Right? Because of the work that God is doing within us, he empowers us, he leads us, he changes us from the inside out so that we can be more and more like Jesus until we're with Jesus. If you know Jesus, man, we've got the Holy Spirit and he is at work within you, transforming you from the inside out. And you know what our response, so that all this can happen? We've got to be with him, right? We got to be spending time with him in prayer. We got to be in his word. We got to be with his church so that we can pursue Jesus together. Look at verse 25. He closes by saying, brethren, he's talking about the church family. Church family, pray for us. Church family, greet all the brethren, all the family with a holy kiss. He said, I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. So pray, greet, or encourage, and then also teach. Verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Look at what Paul's closing words, his instructions. We've got three takeaways there that we can apply to our lives as a church family right here. Church, we need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another, and we need to grow with one another. Pray for one another, encourage one another, and grow with one another. We need first the Lord to help us live authentically for Jesus, and we need each other, so we got to pray with each other. Amen, church? We got to pray for one another, encourage one another, and grow, pursue Jesus together. Guys, as your pastor, I'd like to challenge you as a church family. Let's go back through our notes. Right? Let's go back and listen to some of these teachings you can find online, right? And let's be after these things as a church that Jesus has called us to be. Because here's the thing, church. Imagine what God can do through authentic life if all of us are all in. We're not perfect. Amen. We're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. You with me? But just imagine what God will do if all of us live this out.